You're listening to the Girl Banker Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bartholomew. Just like customer service, your marketing must be thorough and personal. The Twiggs Group can help you develop and execute a strong marketing plan that will elevate your business brand, showcasing what makes your bank so special. Visit welovecommunitybanks.com to see how they can help you with your bank marketing. It's big, it's powerful, it's virtual. What am I talking about? ABA's Unconventional Convention. That's what I'm talking about, and it's coming October 19th and 20th. It'll feature industry speakers like the FDIC's Jelena McWilliams, CNN's Bakari Sellers, global marketing guru Mark Schaefer, and many more. Plus, there'll be over 60 on-demand sessions that you can watch at any time, covering industry trends and leadership, including emerging leaders, ag lending, marketing, innovation, and much more. I will be joining the rising role of marketing panel discussion, so I hope to see you there. In addition, I've earmarked the Art of Strategy for Women to Win in the Workplace session as one of my first to watch, and I've got many more. So join me on October 19th and be part of the Unconventional Convention virtual experience. Register now at aba.com/uncon. That's aba.com/UNCON. See you there. I'm super excited to have Shelley Lofton, Senior Vice President, Retail Banking, Payment and Lending of Retail Banking, Payments and Lending for the American Banking Association. Shelley, that is a long title.
It is a long title. You know, it's an award we have going for who can have the longest title at ABA. So I don't know that I win it, but I'm close. So thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. And, you know, we've been able to meet a couple of times in person. It's funny that we both are Arkansas Girl Bankers, but had not really connected until you were with the ABA and then really never met in person until at an ABA conference. So it's neat. Again, this is just the power of networking right here.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, we've been able to help each other on lots of different projects, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, I really thought I had your title down at this point because I remember the first time I had you featured on the blog. And then, of course, you've written a couple of pieces for the blog, which has been so great to have that different perspective. And I think I had it memorized then because I had to type it out a few times, had to tag you correctly on social media. So I hope I didn't butcher it there in the intro today, but
no, you didn't at all. And I kind of tweak it all the time too, because, you know, marketing is a huge vertical at ABA and it's not specifically called out in that already lengthy title. So, you know, sometimes I throw the marketing name in there, or we just switch the order around for fun. So it's perfectly fine.
Well, good deal. Well, I would love for you to tell our listeners about how you got into banking, because I think you've got a really cool career, a great story. And I think it's really cool how you have become, to me, I think you must be connected to all the bank marketers all over the country. Like, you're that central nucleus of all bank marketing in the United States.
Well, thank you. It certainly is an amazing group of people, and I'm thrilled to be in it. And I, like many of the bankers and marketers that I meet, am kind of an accidental, lifetime banker. I needed a job when I was a teenager and got a job at a local bank's proof department, and I loved it. And then when I went to college, I was a teller. And then I kind of just never left. I went to Bank of the Ozarks at the time, now Bank OZK, and worked as a customer service representative and then in marketing there, and then jumped over to Summit a few years after that, and then ended up with First Federal, which turned into Bear State, and then at the ABA. So now that I've got a 20-year banking career, it lets you know that A, I'm old, and B, that, you know, there's lots of paths to kind of get different places in banking for sure. So I kind of had once I got in the marketing role, it kind of turned into a retail role, which, if you know me very well at all, you know, I'm incredibly committed to the fact that, you know, the customer experience is a huge part of marketing in general, and your internal and your external messaging should match. And so I ended up, you know, doing retail at both Summit and First Federal and Bear State. And then when I left banking, I was chief administrative officer at Bear State Bank. Bear State was acquired by Arvest. And then here I am at the ABA working in the retail payments and lending space. So it's certainly been a journey. There is no question about that.
Well, and I think you, like a lot of women who have been in banking for a number of years, can say, you know, that banking somewhat found them. They weren't exactly looking to get into banking, but that you kind of rose through the ranks, but you did a little bit of everything. And while at the time that may seem difficult, having that experience in all those various areas really pays off, especially at this point in your career where you're in a position to where you can help other bank marketers who are also trying to, you know, make their own way and make their own career. But having that experience across all levels of banking gives you just such a great perspective. And so I think your story is definitely a testament to that.
Well, thank you. And I absolutely am a player coach. There is no question about it. I mean, I believe there's no better way to build, you know, trust and friendships and relationships with the people that you work with than to do the dirty work and to be the person who will do, you know, anything and everything to be the best at not only your job, but the jobs that maybe kind of fall through the cracks or kind of end up as the other duties as assigned, mm-hmm. you know, jobs. Because a lot of times there's ways to forge like some really strong connections with really smart people by kind of picking up some of that extra work. And I think it makes a big difference. And I certainly think it, you know, has made a difference for me, not to mention, I got to learn so much along the way from people that I don't know that I would have had the chance to be around and communicate with.
Yeah, for sure. Banking in general, I think when people look at it from the outside looking in, it seems very dull and boring. I always joke that there's nothing sexy about banking. But when you're inside and you're in the middle of it, and I'm so glad to have found my way to the marketing side because it's definitely the fun spot to be. Being involved in communication, period, I think offers a lot of fun perspective with banking. And it's really cool to see how your career has turned into a way to help other bank marketers develop, and your involvement with the bank marketing school and your involvement with all your conferences. And so talk about a little bit what you're doing at ABA. Talk about how things have changed since the pandemic.
Sure. You know, what I will say as a banker who now works for the ABA, when I worked at Bear State and we used ABA training and education, we used a wide variety of their products and services, but I did not know the half of the advantages that come with an ABA membership, even being so active in the training side and eventually getting active on, you know, the marketing conference board. So what's been fascinating for me, my 2 years at the ABA, is to really be able to wrap my brain around all of the resources that we have to offer bankers in every different business line. So, you know, like from a marketing perspective, we have intro marketing courses, both self-paced and facilitated. Then we have schools and conferences. We have a certification that we're actually revamping and we're rolling out later on this year to kind of get up to speed with what differentiates financial marketers from marketers in general. But we just have all these professional development tools within the marketing space, the compliance space, the risk management space, lending. And I think a lot of times people just don't take advantage of that breadth and depth of knowledge. And the other thing that's really cool is that we work with bankers across the country to develop that curriculum. So, you know, it's not just one of us sitting in an office dreaming up, you know, some course information. It's an advisory board of bankers in a lot of cases, or subject matter experts saying, hey, this is a real hole we're seeing mm-hmm. in our financial institution and the training and education space. So, you know, can you guys take a look and see, you know, how we fill it? And then we can pull together that curriculum. We have experts on call on our policy side that can help with a lot of policy questions. You know, we had a lot of great political team members that did a lot of excellent work on PPP to help everybody, you know, kind of get through that, which was just a Herculean effort. I mean, for the whole community banking industry. And you brought up the pandemic. I mean, what has the pandemic kind of not thrown a wrench in? It is kind of the question. I'll tell you. So I was in Washington, D.C. doing a presentation to a room full of ABA team members. And right before I got up to do that on March 12th, I got a text message that the next day was my son's last day of school. And then before my presentation was over, kind of everybody in DC was like, hey, everybody needs to go home. And, you know, we're going to figure out working from home. And we've worked from home ever since. That was probably, wow, you know, 26, 28 weeks ago. So I came home and have stayed home and became, like so many mothers, a teacher and worker overnight, which was an experience in and of itself, and one that I would have never dreamed I would have had. I love my boys immensely, but being their homeschool teacher was not on my bucket list. so it certainly, I mean, I never thought I would be on Zoom calls with my colleagues and, you know, see like Nerf darts blowing through the background and, you know, kids running around. But I think it certainly has become our reality right now. And I'm grateful for a lot of things it has brought, but it's definitely been different. And pivoting at ABA from in-person events to virtual events, mm-hmm, has been a challenge as well, but a really fun one. I love to learn new things and try new things. And while we all, I think, prefer to do it on our own timelines, sometimes that doesn't happen. And, yeah, you know, this is one of those cases. You know, the interesting thing about the industry as a whole, though, I will say, is while everybody pulled together to really help their communities, there was also a lot of bankers that were out there upskilling and reskilling themselves. I mean, we saw a lot of increased activity on our learning management system, a lot of our online training courses that people started to take, you know, when they had kind of lulls in activity in their branches or when they were working from home to kind of brush up their skill sets, because I think it just got everybody's kind of brain moving that, you know, things can really shift on a dime. I need to make sure that, you know, I'm prepared for what the future, mm-hmm, might hold for me.
Yeah. And you bring up a really good point, because even though we kind of knew it was coming, I don't think any of us could fully grasp exactly what we were about to dive headfirst into and be there for so long. And so I think it's really neat to hear from your side of the coin of seeing that bankers are trying to re-educate themselves, because some of them, you know, we had told our front line that when we close the lobbies and we may not be servicing as many customers in person, you know, we pushed a lot of people to digital. Use that time to educate yourself, learn and cross train. And so it is neat to see how so many bankers, if you weren't on the PPP side of things, how they did learn new skill sets, and how we all had to adapt and we all had to become lovers of technology, whether we wanted to be or not, because that was just how things had to be.
Yeah. You know, I think it's human nature that we want to resist change. And the interesting thing to me, particularly about banking, is that, you know, most of our banks have had the technology to service customers this way from a mobile and digital perspective. Maybe not every single service, but like your day-to-day kind of everyday transactional services, we've had the capabilities from a mobile standpoint, but the consumer's behavior just has kind of needed a little push to get, you know, a little further, to get comfortable with it. And this pandemic provided that for banks across the country. And so now, you know, kind of how we shape the next normal and what that looks like from a bank service perspective is really interesting. And I do think it made people stop and think, okay, I need to really, you know, make sure that I'm prepared for adding value for whatever is next. Exactly. Whatever that next normal looks like, I need to be sure that I can prove that I can add value and I've got the skill set to make that happen. And, you know, a lot of them have access already to the ABA's training library through relationships at their bank. And so they were just able to get in there and figure out what skills would make the most sense for them. So yeah. I think it's a great opportunity for people.
And not to sound opportunistic, because clearly everything that's going on is tragic and horrible. But you think about these people in banking that are on the innovation side, that are over their bank's innovation, and they've been harping about, we need to be doing this, we need to be thinking about that, we need to amp up this on tech, whatever their project may or may not be. You know, now they're going, see, this is what I was talking about. This is what we should have been having in place. Or maybe they're very thankful. Hey, you remember when we forked over all that money for this new piece of technology? Aren't you so glad that we have it now? Because again, not to sound opportunistic, but you're exactly right about consumer behavior. Like this was an opportunity to say, the old way of banking is no more. Here we are with the new way of doing things. And what I'll be interested to see are practices and consumer behavior that will go away, that the old things that we'll never see again, that we thought were just here to stay. So, what, even with the new normal, quote unquote, what things do we adopt going forward that we never thought we would?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's interesting, because bankers that have traditional cultures, I think they thought they were, you know, just being cautious or just, you know, overly concerned with change, and that they probably were internally and culturally, you know, taking chances and kind of being entrepreneurial. And then the pandemic hit and you realized how agile you actually could be when the chips were down and you needed to be. And mm-hmm. Now the question is, how do we keep this kind of accelerated agility of project management and technology and innovation moving forward, even, you know, post this pandemic scare, assuming that we get post this, you know, at this point, we don't know what that looks like or when that is. So I certainly don't claim to know that. But I just think for a lot of banks, culturally, this was a big step forward. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we can actually implement, train, and change something quickly. It doesn't always have to take, you know, consensus of 200 people, 80 committee meetings, and 4 years. It actually can happen. Yeah, it actually can happen. And to your in-person point, I mean, how many banks thought they would never see anyone working remotely, that it was just like the death knell for a culture, mm-hmm. when you really couldn't be further from the truth? And a lot of banks have figured that out now, that you can have effective meetings, you can have effective project management, you can effectively service customers. And a lot of your employees, I mean, you've taken a huge burden off of their shoulders for childcare, especially when there is no childcare, and for a time there wasn't. And depending on where you are now, there still may not be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so you're kind of, you're building those employee relationships, and that employee goodwill, if you're doing it right, will serve you very well in the future.
100%. And you mentioned, so kind of shifting gears to, I know you're working from home. You mentioned that you've been working from home since March 13th or whenever you flew home from DC after getting that text. And you've got two boys, so you're a boy mom also.
Yes.
Nerf bullets and all. And you had mentioned, we were on a Zoom call earlier today and we'll talk about the unconventional convention coming up here in a moment, that they are back in school virtually, back in school virtually. That was contradictive. They are back in school. And so has that kind of changed your work-life balance a little bit now that they aren't in the house?
Oh, no question. So, I mean, I was like, I think I was like most moms in that, especially most, you know, moms who work outside the home. Like I was on my way home and I was like, okay, I can teach adults. I can teach children. And I am pumped to teach my children. And I ordered all of these homeschooling supplies and I set up a, I already am kind of a dork. So I have whiteboards all over my house anyway. So I put awesome. A schedule. I put a schedule on the whiteboard. I mean, we had a family meeting, like, this is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. It's going to be awesome. Like, I promise you guys, I'm a really good teacher. We can do this. And they just kind of looked at me like I was crazy, but I was ready. And I thought that first day would never end. It was like the Monday that lasted like 3 weeks. And then by Wednesday, I actually still have it in my room in there. I drew an X through the schedule and we had dinner. And I just said, look, like, I've got to be on Zoom in the mornings. You two have to be on Zooms in the mornings. This isn't going to work. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to work. I'm going to be on Zoom in the morning. I'm going to work during the day. You're going to do an hour's worth of, you know, a chore around the house, and you can play Fortnite for 45 minutes. Then you're going to do this, and you can only have tech time 5 minutes at a time, but you can have it in between every other thing I put on your schedule. Then we're going to eat dinner. Then we're going to do school, and you can stay up as late as you want and watch TV. If you'll get your school done in 2 hours. And they loved it. And we got into the routine of doing that. Now, you know, if I would have been practicing the 7 habits and thought about begin with the end in mind, I would have realized how painful that was going to make actually going back to school. Because it's like, no, you cannot stay up until 11 o'clock at night right now. But I did. I had to kind of completely abandon my perfect view of homeschooling and working and being that awesome mom that could do it all. Yeah, I really couldn't do it all. And I didn't want to be bad at both things. So I guess I just kind of became mediocre at both things for a minute, but now they're back in school and I'm super grateful for that. Although I am not sure how long they're actually going to be there, but they needed some social interaction. So,
well, I only worked from home for 2 months during this and then started commuting back to the office. But that 2 months, and you just hit on this, it told me that there is no perfect balance. I mean, I've always thought that ideal of perfect balance doesn't really exist and it's a farce and we shouldn't tell people to find it, because here I am and here you are at home with your kids, still able to work, still able to draw that paycheck and educate your kids and everybody be home and safe. And it still didn't work very well. It still was hard. And, you know, I still had a glass of wine every night. And it was just like, you know, that does that not just tell you that it's all just a give and take all the time. And like, we have to stop creating these unrealistic standards of what this perfection, this perfect balance really is.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm right there with you. I've always thought it was a level of integration, but until like I was kind of in the same physical space for 24 hours, like working and momming like over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you really didn't know like what day it was and what projects. And you get your kind of circadian rhythms get off balance too, because if you're going to have any time to yourself, it's going to be late at night and you don't want to go to sleep, because when you shut your eyes, you're going to open them again and it all starts over.
It was like a bad episode of Groundhog Day.
Yes. And you feel like you just haven't been able to breathe. And it's funny because I'll talk to some moms in my neighborhood and we all have different careers. And, you know, some of them, I mean, the ones that are, you know, staying home full time feel the same way. I mean, there's just no, there was no kind of break in the monotony, and it just kept going and going. And it was very, very stressful. Not to mention you couldn't go out and, you know, really socialize with other people, and everybody's wearing masks and, you know, debating whether or not school's going to go back in session. So yeah, it was just kind of crazy. It was like an episode of Groundhog Day.
So let's talk about unconventional convention, because I know you've got kids to pick up, speaking of balance. So here you are squeezing in this episode with me today. So I'm very thankful that you found time for us. But let's talk about the convention coming up. We are sad that we can't see each other in person. This is a conference that I have grown to look forward to so much every year. There's just kind of a group of us that, and it grows every year, of new connections, bank marketers, new perspectives from all over the country. And it's really the only time we ever actually see each other in person. So it is very sad that that's not happening in 2020, when we probably could use it the most.
Oh, there, no question. The ABA Bank Marketing Conference is such a helpful event. And there are so many of us that look forward to kind of brainstorming and sharing best practices that go every year. So I hate that we won't be there in person as well. But what I am hopeful for is that maybe we can get some new marketers and some new retail team members to kind of see the value that this particular network of professionals provides, and can kind of get involved and share their knowledge with it as well, not having to travel. So I think there will be some advantages to it, but we are having the unconventional convention October 19th and 20th. It is a virtual conference. It is a combination of virtual conferences, actually. So ABA typically has an annual convention in the fall, which has kind of primarily a CEO audience. We also have a CFO forum and an Ag Bankers Conference and the marketing conference. And so we've combined all of these just because of the unique nature of the year. And it also highlights the fact that so many of our roles are integrated these days with the implementation of technology and looking at the customer experience as a whole versus in silos. You can easily see how, you know, some marketing expertise is beneficial for CEOs and CFOs. Certainly CFO and CEO information is beneficial for bank marketers. So we've got a great lineup of content for each independent business line, but it also, you know, is important to kind of shed some light into how the different areas of your bank operates as well. So we're in full steam programming for that and excited about it. There's a Bring the Bank rate, which is something we've never had the chance to do before, that we're excited about. You can bring, you know, up to 25 of your bank team members, and the majority of the content is on demand. So while we will have some live programming those 2 days, you can get on the platform and kind of do the look at the sessions and figure out what, you know, suits you and your level of knowledge when and if you want to. And so we think that that's just a huge advantage, and we're looking forward to bankers exploring it and giving us feedback on it.
That's so cool. And I can see a total benefit of this potentially being a route for conferences going forward. But I do hope that we will still find a way to have them in person, if and when we can, because there is so much benefit, not only to all the knowledge and everything that you obtain while you're there, best practices, but there is so much to that networking and gaining extra people that you can bounce ideas off of throughout the year beyond just the time of the conference.
Agreed. I mean, I am 100% a believer in the beauty being in the blend. And I think what will come of this is a much more connected blend of this experience, and that maybe we can stay connected longer throughout the year. But, you know, having a couple of different things or getting together a couple of different times remotely, but then still having that in person.
Yeah.
You know, venue where we can connect as well. So
absolutely.
I agree. But for this year, you know, for right now, we're going virtual with this. And we certainly hope that, you know, just check out the content. You can go to aba.com/uncon, UNCON, and just kind of see what the schedule looks like and what the pricing is and how you can register, your whole bank. I mean, I think you'll see a lot of content that not only reflects and kind of organizes and helps you pick up best practices from what's gone on so far this year, which has been unprecedented, of course, but then also, you know, how you can keep putting one foot in front of the other and moving forward in kind of this uncertain environment.
Well, that is that's certainly an awesome opportunity for more than just the bank marketer, but everybody in the bank to be able to experience that and hear that. And I think that that could really open the door going forward. So that's really cool opportunity that this is presenting. So yes, everyone take advantage of this. Shelly mentioned we're gonna say it one more time before we close out the podcast of how to sign up. But Shelly, thank you so much for making time. I know you've got to go get kids. So looking forward to the conference. I appreciate being able to be a part of it as well and excited to see how this rolls.
Yes, I'm excited as well. And I will thank you, Natalie. You're going to be on our the Rising Role of Marketing panel with Karen Partee and Kimberly Kashke. So that'll be a great discussion of, you know, how marketing continues to grow and change in the industry. And there'll be lots of other good content as well. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. Well, thank you. And go get your kiddos. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. See ya.
Be sure to subscribe to the Girl Banker podcast so that you don't miss an episode, and follow me on Instagram at The Girl Banker. The views and opinions expressed in the Girl Banker podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency. It is produced by Natalie Bartholomew and Bobby Hudspeth.